Good morning. Today is January the 23rd, 2010. My name is Letty Kincaid from Faith Fellowship in Round Rock, Texas. Today we continue our study on the Ten Commandments, Commandment number 3, Ruining God's Reputation. What is in a name? We sang a lot of songs this morning. I was very grateful for the songs that Integrity picked for our song service because they talked about the majesty, the grandness, the absolute faithfulness and love of God. And His name is amazing. When He goes to this mountain, Mount Horeb, to give the Ten Commandments to Moses and before His people, He says, I am. I am. He wanted them to understand that He is everything. I am that I am. I am your God. I am your provider. I am your strength. I am your rock. I am everything. I am life itself. And that's what the first commandment is about, is that God has to be life to us. If we don't get the first commandment, we can't possibly understand the rest. For the second commandment is, you shall have no substitutes. I will not share your affection and your devotion with anything or anyone else. There are to be no substitutes. We talked about having a shape in our heart that only God can fill. And you know how I love visuals. And this is the way that I like to look at it. Jesus is the only one that can fill the star shape of our heart. He has to be the star. Not someone else and not things, not the things that God can provide, but God Himself is the only one that can fulfill us and satisfy us. Anything else falls short. We desire to love, but our love is incomplete. At our very best, our love is incomplete. We can never match what God can give. And our enemy tries to get us to substitute other things for God and to try to stuff in the nooks and crannies of the star something else, but it will never, ever be enough. And God says, I want to be your life. I want for you to trust me implicitly. I want for you to devote your life to me. I want your affection. I want your love. I want you, your adoration and your praise and your glory. Not because I want to show off. It's because I know what happens when you give your love and devotion and affection to something else. In fact, we know we live in the trenches of God's first created angel. When he desired what God was for God, when he wanted to be the star in the hearts of God's created, it caused sin. And we live in the midst of sin. And we live in a planet that has been violated in every way because of sin. Because of sin, we have death and destruction. We have predatory violence. We have hatred. We have horrors. And only God, in the midst of all of this, can give us what we need to make it through this journey of life that we're on to the promised land. And so if we get that God is life and that we will not allow anything to substitute, not our spouses, not our siblings, not our children, not our friends, not our careers or money or all the things and anything that money can provide, because they're all temporary. And if we decide, yes, Lord, then we move on to number 3. So what is in a name? God wants His name to be highly respected. And we sang today all the things about who God is: majestic, awesome, wonderful, faithful, loving, provider, sustainer, rock, strength. How is it that we can use his name so lightly? How is it that we can use it? Let's just talk about language. Geez, oh my God, Jesus, jeepers. How can we use God's and many other things that I won't say just so lightly when we say, you are life to me, but we can use his name in such casual, degrading manners? Well, the devil is seeing to that. The devil started it in heaven, ruining God's reputation and making him look bad, and he continues to do that. But we're going to see that it's even so much more than just words. When the Hebrew scribes went to write down scripture, they washed themselves, they put on clean clothes, they took a brand new quill, you know, quill and ink, and some of you may not, you know, it's too far back to think about. And they wrote God's name, which was four letters, YHWH. And then they took that quill and they threw it away because that quill had been used to write such a glorious being's name. It couldn't be used to write any other words. They reverenced the name. They wouldn't even speak it, for they were afraid to misuse the name just in sound. And the Hebrew language doesn't have consonants. So over the centuries, people forgot what that actually sounded like, what that name was supposed to sound like, because they didn't use it casually like it's used today. There's so much more, and I want for us to understand. I think this is probably the least understood commandment. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and begin our study this morning. Exodus 20 and verse 7. Says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, meaning to ruin. You shall not ruin God's name. And just like in the second commandment, God says, there are consequences. He says, I will not hold you guiltless if you take my name and you ruin it. What is in a name? Well, God's names identify who he is. They tell us about his character and how he relates to people. God's names are signposts of his attributes and his characters, and here are a few. Faithful, true, the Holy One, the Gracious One, the Long-Suffering One, Bountiful Being, Loving, the one who forgives, the one who sees all things, the all-knowing one, the righteous one. They also advertise God's names, advertise his nature, creator, redeemer, savior, rock, my deliverer, my salvation, my shield, trustworthy, jealous. We talked about that word from the second commandment last week, that God said, I am a jealous God. But that is not translated as to how jealousy is used today. He's saying, I will not share, one who will not share devotion with another. God's names also remind us of what we can expect him to do and what he requires. My fortress, my refuge, my stronghold, the just one, the judge, the one who sets up kings and deposes them, master, deliverer, punisher of sin, and eternal one. Through God's titles and names and how he describes himself, we see his authority, we see his offices and his will, and God's name is not to be abused. 1 John 2:12 says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. His name saves. It is powerful. Go with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 22. When Lucifer ruined God's reputation, he actually made God look evil. He slandered God's name, and one third of God's children, of God's angel children, believed Lucifer's lies. When we get to the Exodus and God giving his commandments to his people, he's giving them commandments because he wants to teach them a different way to live. He wants to call attention to his way of living. First, he tells them who he is. He tells them how he's going to provide for them, that he is going to be life for them, and what his expectations are. In a relationship, there's always expectations. And God has expectations. Leviticus 22:32. God says, "Do not profane my holy name." Now, the word profane is right next door to the profanity. I don't think I need to tell you what profanity means, right? God says, "Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy." God is holy, and only he can make things holy. So why do we say things like holy cow and holy anything else? Do you think the Lord is pleased with that kind of disgusting language? He says, "I am holy, and I make you holy." And yet we throw that around as a reference, like cows and stones and other things can be holy. We need to clean up our language, don't we? "I am the Lord who God who makes you holy. I brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." God wants to lead us out of Egypt too. We live in Egypt. We live in Egypt, and God wants for us to be freed from the slaves that Egypt wants to turn us into. Go with me to Jeremiah 34:16. Jeremiah 34:16 says, "But now you have turned around and profaned my name. Each of you has taken back the male and female slaves you had set free to go where they wished. You have forced them to become your slaves again." Another clue in how we profane God's name is that when God tells us to do something and then we turn around and don't do it, we are bringing shame upon God's name by not following through with what he says. So therefore, before a whole group of people that had been set free, God's name, God's people profane his name. And let's go over to Ezekiel 20. I want you to connect several of these verses so that you can understand what ruining God's reputation is about. Because it's more than holy cow and oh my God. It's much more than that. Ezekiel 20 verse 8 says, "They rebelled against me and they would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images they had set their eyes on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So I said, I will pour my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in Egypt. But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations." God saying, I had to protect my reputation because these people that love me, that say I am their life, they are making me look really bad by the way that they are behaving. They lived among those and in whose sight I had revealed myself to the Israelites by bringing them out of Egypt. And then go over to same book, Ezekiel 36. verse 20. And wherever they went among the nations, and he's talking about his people, his chosen people, the ones that have said, yes, Lord, we will do all that you say. We love you. You are a God. He said, wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For those around them said, these are the Lord's people, and yet he had to have them leave his land. What's up with that? This group of people, their own God had to discipline them? Why did their own God have to discipline them? God says, I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations by the way that they lived. Therefore, say, Ezekiel, to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord, this is what I am that I am, says. It is not for your sake that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show you the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have desecrated among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. God cares how his name is represented. And it's just not in silly habits that we have allowed ourselves to become involved in, or even swearing with God's name. It's so much bigger. How we live our life when we wear Christian stamped on our forehead stands out to God. And if we don't live according to his standard when we say we belong to him, we are profaning his name to all of those around us. And God sees that as disgusting, as profanity. And when you think about profanity, you think about really nasty words. But this is beyond nasty words. It's nasty living. It's horrifying before the Lord. So how we are living is extremely important to the Lord because we are his ambassadors. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We bear his name. We say we belong to Jesus. Christians are followers of Christ. That doesn't mean very much these days anymore. It basically means I go to church. Sometime in the week I go to church. I might give an offering, might even pay tithe, might even sing a few praise songs, say a few hallelujahs. That's really what Christianity is all about. But to God, that we choose to wear his name, it means very much to him. So who are we when we stamp Christian on our foreheads? 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and only one who is holy can call something holy. He is calling us a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare. Because I've made you holy, now you have the privilege of declaring my praises, that you may declare praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. The problem is that many times we don't want to be called out of darkness. We like being in the dark. We think that what's done in the dark, God can't see. But the wisest king that ever lived, God says, at the end of all his folly, in Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing. So no matter we think we do things in the darkness, God sees every little thing, and he reads the motives of our heart. We can't just think that we're doing right if we're not doing right, because we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourself. Do you get that God is calling you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you belong to Him? You belong to God's family. You are one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God is saying, because you've come to me, I called you, I chose you, you said yes, now you belong to me, and I'm giving you lots of mercy because I love you. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in your world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. The devil wants your soul. God says you must love me with your heart and soul. The devil says, no, I want your soul. Live such good life among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. This is what God wanted the Israelites to do. They were to go out into the pagans. The pagans didn't understand what this God thing was all about, but they were to be a demonstration of God's goodness. They were supposed to see how the Israelites were living and be drawn to God. Wow. Wow. I need to know your God. Who is your God? Go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. If you choose to wear His name, He is sending you to speak for Him. Do you remember when He sent Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh? Moses was God's ambassador. If you choose to be part of God's family, He wants for you to be His ambassadors. He wants to send you to speak to others. You are ambassador of the great I Am, of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Ezekiel and Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Elijah, the God of Enoch. We are such ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Can God use you to go and appeal to someone else's heart and to win them over by how you're living your life? Can God trust you to do that? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Line up with Him. Be willing to do right, because God cares how you represent His name. When we quarrel, when we hold on to bitterness, we are profaning the name that we say is precious to us. When our selfishness shows up, when our critical hearts are seen, we are profaning the name of the Lord. This is serious stuff. God says, do not ruin my reputation by saying that you belong to me and then you go live like this and you make me look really bad. James 5:19 says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. How can you go and bring somebody back if you yourself aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing? If you're not lining up with the Lord. Profanity is not just about bad words. It's about bad living. It's about bad fab. The youth class knows, well, the adults do too. We've been to the boundary study, and one of the simplest concepts that comes from that is how we are each in charge of our fab, our feelings, our attitude, and our behavior. Can't blame anyone for it. It's yours. You're in charge of it. You're responsible for it. And with your fab, you either glorify God's name or you profane it. You're in Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, believers or non-believers. Paul says, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good. I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. I am an ambassador for Christ in chains, Paul says. I am seeking the good of many so that they may be saved. There's a line in a song that I just love. It really ministers to my heart every day. And it's, I just want to do my part to see that someone makes it through. That's a true ambassador. There are many hurting souls out there, Lord. And I want to be lined up with you in every way. I know, Lord, I can't do it perfectly. God's not looking for perfection. He gives us perfection. That's what righteousness by faith is all about. But he sees where the desires of our hearts lie. Are we motivated to be so preoccupied with God that all we think about is how to love him more, how to magnify his name more? Are we in awe of him every morning when we sit down and we open up the word? You can't not see God in a bigger way if you open up to the book of Psalms every morning and start your day there. How majestic is your name? Who am I that you are mindful of me? I'm nothing but a little worm, Lord, and you care about my little wormy feet and my little wormy self. I'm just flabbergasted by that, Lord. The third commandment deals with the quality of our relationship with God. We belong to his family. Leviticus 19:12 says, do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. To swear falsely is to say, well, God said to do this. Oh, God led me to do that. God told me to do this. And God says, I didn't tell you to do that. What are you talking about? Remember in Jeremiah's day, there was a lot of that going on. The prophets are saying, oh, no, everything's going to be good. No, there's no calamity coming. No, everything's good. God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't bring calamity. What came? Calamity. And God said, yes, my very own people were saying that there was no calamity coming, that there's no payday for wrongdoing. After I was telling them, payday for wrongdoing is coming. Turn to Matthew 28:19. God tells his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name. What name? The name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing us into the name of the God family. But it doesn't stop there. Most Christians like to stop there because that's just huge blessing. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And it's almost as if it should say, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. And then he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. We are immersed into the name of the Father and the Son. We bear that name. Dear ones, we bear the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We don't spend enough time getting that. God's name is our spiritual family name. What is our responsibility to uphold God's name? Let's go to Isaiah 43. Yes, today's a workout in the Bible. Isaiah 43:10. We read that we are his ambassadors. God says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord God, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed, saved, and proclaimed. I, not some foreign God among you, you are my witnesses that I am God. Each one of you is a living demonstration that the God of heaven and earth exists by how you live your life. So the third commandment sets the standard for spiritual cleanliness in a person. Professing Christianity and being unwilling to live up to what that ambassadorship is about is very serious to God. He says, I will hold you guilty for doing that. Serious. What's in a name and who do we honor? In the Bible, names have a meaning and a purpose. Today, people name their kids apple and tree and grapefruit and all kinds of ridiculous names. They're absolutely meaningless. In God's day, names meant something, and names changed with the experience. You know that Abram's name was changed to Abraham, and Saul's name was changed to Paul. God is all about names. He intends on giving the redeemed a new name. And he says, we're going to bear his name as well. So God's names change depending on the experience. And he expects very much out of those that honor his name. Go to the book of Malachi, because we need to talk about God's name being honored. Right before Matthew. I think this is really, really neat. Malachi says here, chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. I love that. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So here's this going on. Here's this group of people that are saying, God, he's so awesome. He's so wonderful. We want to do something special. What can we do to honor the Lord? And the Lord's just sitting there listening and just being so pleased. And what God says is, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make my treasured possession, I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between righteous and wicked, between those who serve the Lord and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord God Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. but for you who revere my name, who are devoted to my name, who worship and reverence my name. The Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. They chose to honor his name. I was thinking about that a lot this week, that people spend their lives chasing after a name. How many people have wanted to see their name up in lights, or their name on a billboard, or for their name to be known? There's something about a name that stirs up the carnal nature. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's all about a name, right? I had a few names that that came to mind. Harvard. Ooh. Dell. Wow. Nike. Know that name. Coach. Oh. Mercedes. You could make a list in your head right now. You could pop out names. 10 names. I bet in about 5 seconds. Of the things that the carnal heart wants to honor. We will chase after to get these things so that we can have in our possession things with big names, recognized by all. When someone sees me with this name brand thing, oh, what will they think of me? Yes, I have one. Yes, it's mine. Ooh, ah. But God says, those who honor me, I will honor. That's in Samuel. For those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me, I will reject. If commandments 1 and 2 are disregarded, commandment 3 will be trampled. And we know that God's name is totally disrespected today. Totally disrespected. God has no respect. There is no fear and reverence of the Lord. And things are going to get worse. So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus has warned us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And in the days of Noah, people's thoughts were continuously evil, wicked. Commandment 1 was trashed, and that pushes the dominoes. When you trash the first one, it falls over, and all the rest of them are knocked down. Jesus says, if you break one, it's like what? Breaking them all. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they act as if they serve God. They are pretend Christians. But they deny his power to be overcomers of all the things that were listed. And God says, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. Get God's name right so that you can praise him, glorify him. And that can only happen through how you are living your life. We are living in the end days. Christians are followers of Christ. Christ said, I have gone to prepare a home for you, and I am coming back to take you there. Do you believe that? Or is that just a fairy tale to you? Is the Bible just stories and fairy tales? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not. And that one day, very soon, what God has written in the book of Revelation is going to happen right before our eyes. And we need to be decided about whom we will serve. And we have to make a decision, because God will insist that we choose whom we will love with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. It's a choice. You don't have to worry about how it's going to happen, how you're going to keep the commandments, because you can't. There it is. I know you've been worried sitting there, how am I going to do this? You can't do it. But through God's power, you can. He says, without me, you can do nothing. But through me, you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God accepts your earnest and honest desire. And he clothes you with his righteousness. So when the Father sees you, guess what he sees? He sees Jesus. He doesn't see filthy rags. He sees Jesus. Give him your heart and let him transform your life in ways that will absolutely astound you. I have a DVD that I'm going to ask all of you to view before next Sabbath. It talks about the very thing that we are going to see unfold very soon. And Joey's going to give you one on the way out. I hope that you will take it to heart. I hope that it gives you renewed hope. Renewed hope that your God loves you, that you are precious to him. And I've been remembering a text that God gave me that has gotten me through so many valleys. And it's found in Isaiah, and it's, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. Joey, Johnny, Irma, Stacy, Olivia, Lizzie, by name. I know your name, Brittany. I know your name, Rex. You are mine. The youth are going to bless us with the special music that I know will glorify God's name. May we each leave here having worshiped the God of heaven and earth. This is my prayer. How we have been blessed, dear Lord, to be in your house today. And as we have examined your third commandment, we fall so short of being the people that you want for us to be and proclaiming your great name. And right now we are so grateful that your name means mercy, for we are in great need. We are so filled with the need to be filled. May our desire be to love you with all of our heart, every inch of our hearts, Lord, to make Jesus the star, to point to him, to lead others to him. We thank you that you are a God who hears and listens. We take to heart that you say that you will honor those who honor you. We know that there is no life outside of you. And we ask that you would give us the strength that we need to overcome whatever is happening in our lives that is separating us and keeping us from being one with you. It is with humble hearts, and it is with committed hearts that we come here and that we say, whatever discipline that we need in our lives, God, so that we line up with you and wind up spending eternity with you, we ask you to bring it. You are a father who loves and disciplines his children. And whatever is needed in our lives, we trust you. We surrender to you. And we thank you for bringing refreshment and renewal this beautiful Sabbath day. In the name of Jesus, amen.